You are now listening to CJLO 1690 in Montreal. So sit back, relax, and let us take control. You deserve
it. For CJLO News, I'm Lucas Matthew Marsh. The City of Montreal announced it will provide funding for 4 affordable and social housing projects by the end of 2024. The project includes the renovation of 3 existing buildings and the construction of a new housing facility for single or lone parent women. The new initiative will add 191 housing units for individuals at risk of homelessness. The total investment in these projects will amount to nearly $80.5 million. The federal government will contribute $32.2 million to the project, with the Quebec government providing an additional $8 million through Access Logis Québec and $6 million through the Société de l'Habitation du Québec. The project aims to address the urgent housing needs of vulnerable populations in the city's Ville-Marie borough. The Montreal-based charity Elves Filling Shelves is facing challenges due to the ongoing unlimited teacher strike in Quebec. The group has been utilizing space in a Pierrefonds-Roxborough school until strike action by the province's education unions resulted in the group losing access. The loss of this location has disrupted the group's efforts to receive, sort, package, and deliver food and toys to families in need during the holiday. Elves Filling Shelves is now urgently seeking a new location that has at least 1,500 to 2,000 square feet to continue its operations. Food banks across the province are struggling to meet demands as more Quebecers resort to utilizing their services during the holiday season. According to the Food Banks of Quebec, rising costs of living have pushed more people into food insecurity, with the organization experiencing a 73% increase in usage since 2019. The food bank aims to collect about 200,000 kilos of food to sustain its operations until 2024. While the Quebec government provided a one-time payment of $10 million to support the organization, the amount fell short of the $18 million requested. For CJLO, I'm Lucas Matthew Marsh.
Welcome to the Comfy Cabaret. Today we have Hazel here.
Hello!
For your name, is that come... Do you say the underscore before, or do you just say Hazel?
So I just usually say Hazel. The underscore was mostly an accident. It was because when I was registering myself as a Spotify artist, there were too many Hazels on Spotify, and I panicked, and underscore Hazel was my Discord username in high school, so I was just like, this is good enough.
That's fun. I was lucky enough that my name was, like, completely available. But I did do my whole name, which makes it easier.
That probably does help. Yeah, I kind of always felt like my last name is Drew. Like, Hazel Drew is not exactly the most artistic-sounding name. And I really didn't feel like that was gonna, I don't know, sound interesting to people. So I was just like, we have to do it like Cher, or there's no future.
Okay, so could you introduce yourself for the audience?
Sure. So I'm Hazel. I am an 18-year-old singer-songwriter originally from California. Now I'm based in Massachusetts. And I mostly just, I don't know, I write fun little tunes and then I produce them in my bedroom and hope that the masses enjoy them.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I do most of my production myself as well, and it's always a fun time. I feel like I've realized that I'm maybe not talented enough to do it all myself.
But, I came to that realization recently as well.
No, you're great. Okay, so I feel like I discovered your song, My Teenage Dream, on social media. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it kind of had a pretty big moment.
I was actually really pleased about that.
Yeah, so do you want to tell us how this song came about?
Sure. I mean, so the original vibe, I had this gig in December of last year, and I needed like one more song to close out my set, and I was really displeased with the way that all of my own originals were sounding. And I kind of had this idea in my head that had been circulating around for a while. Like it was very much born out of the like kissing girls under summer skies when no one's watching line. And that kind of, I don't know, joyful queer experience, that kind of situation. And I wanted to put that into a song. And then I started writing and it came about in like 15 minutes and I was really happy with it. And I was like, this kind of sounds cute. And so I took a video of the first verse and first chorus and were like put it on Instagram. It didn't get very much traction on TikTok, but like I woke up the next morning and my phone was exploding and I was like, oh, do people like this? And it was actually really, really sweet. And I got a lot of support from that and a lot of people saying like, oh, this reminded me of my partner. And it also made me really sad, like happy to see people tagging their partners in it. I was like, oh, I've
Yeah,
created
that's
something that could be like a couple's song. So.
great. This is my teenage dream.
Teenage Dream by Katy Perry never made sense to me. When I would listen to the radio in mom's backseat, I never thought I'd get a summer love with parties on the beach. And so I grew up thinking I would never be that kid. I'd spend my Friday nights in different ways than Katie did. I guess I thought that having fun was just beyond my reach. But you feel like kissing girls under summer skies when no one's watching, blowing out the stereo with my mom's soul crying. You know I'll always be your Audrey if you're my James Dean, 'cause I got Katie now. You show up at my door with flowers on a weekend night. You listen when I cry and hold me till I feel alright. And God, you make me laugh so hard I have to stop and breathe. You look just like Danny Zuko in your tight black jeans. And I'm a sucker for the bad boy look, you know that's me. You got me blushing like an idiot, you're in my dreams. 'Cause you feel like kissing girls under summer skies when no one's watching, blowing out the stereo with my mom's old car. And you know I'll always be your Audrey if you're my James Dean, 'cause I got Katie now and I know you're my teenage dream, my teenage dream. Summer skies when no one's watching, blowing out the stereo in my mom's old car. And you know I'm always gonna kiss you like it's our last scene, 'cause I get Katie now and I know you're my teenage dream. Ceilings plaster, can't you just make it move faster? Lovely to be sitting here with you. You're kind of cute, but it's raining harder. My shoes are now full of water. Lovely to be rained on with you. It's kind of cute, but it's so short. And you're driving me home, and I don't wanna leave, but I have to go. You kiss me in your car, and it feels like the start of a movie I've seen before. Just lay here with you. You're kind of cute enough. would say all of this, but I don't want to ruin the moment. Lovely to sit between comfort. It's over, then you're driving me home, and it kind of comes out as I get up to go. You kiss me in your car, and it feels like the start of a movie I've seen before. But it's not real, and you don't exist, and I can't recall the last time I was kissed.
Okay, so we just heard Ceilings by Hazel on the Comfy Cabaret. Can you tell us about how this song is, how it came about?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on the fact that it's a cover, I was very obsessed with Ceilings by Lizzie McAlpine. One of my friends had sent it to me, and I thought that it was the prettiest song I had ever heard in my life, and I annoyed the hell out of my family for like several weeks, just wandering around the house, just like singing little bits of it. And then at one point I was trying to figure out the guitar part. And then I was like, oh, this could kind of work. And then I recorded the guitar, and then I recorded vocals, and then I just posted that on TikTok. But then I just got kind of more and more obsessed with trying to add more layers to it. I was like looking up the sheet music for the song. And next thing I knew, I had recorded about like 50% of the song. And I was like, well, at this point,
yeah,
let's just go the rest of the way. And then I recorded all the vocals and did a lot. Like, I added a couple of choral arrangements that aren't in the original song to try to give it my own spin, while still remaining faithful to the material. And I was just really pleased with the way that it came out. And I was like, I think I should release this. And then I did. And that was great. And I don't know, I just had so much fun with it because there were so many of my friends who were so invested in the project. That's definitely like a big song in my friend group. We all really love it, and we all really love Lizzie in general. So we were just really excited about the prospect of releasing it, and so it was kind of became like a group situation as well.
Cool. So in terms of your musical journey, did you do music from like a young age?
And yeah,
when do you start writing music? Was that like a recent thing or a more long ago? Like,
I think I started writing music when I was around 12, and I'm 18 now, so that's 6 years. Wow, okay. Excuse me, I needed a moment to process that. But I originally started on piano. I've been playing piano since I was 3. Although I did give up on classical around the same time I started writing, maybe a little bit after. It never really clicked for me. I love classical music. I love listening to it. There are a lot of like instrumentals and like, I don't know, I love it as study music, I love it as ambiance, but I just didn't really feel connected to it when I was playing it. And so I convinced my piano teacher to allow me to start playing more, like arranging sort of classical-esque arrangements of pop songs. And then that spiraled into me writing my own music. And then next thing I knew, I was like showing up to my piano recitals, but playing a song that I had written, and having all the parents in the audience be ever so slightly aghast that my piece wasn't by Beethoven. But I don't know, it was all very fun. And that just kind of took off into me learning more instruments. I taught myself how to play guitar. And my dad was just like, I have this guitar in the basement that I bought and then never played when I was your age. Do you want it? I was like, yes. And so I taught myself how to play that. And ever since, I've just been kind of doinking around on various instruments and writing songs while I play them.
Nice. Yeah, I think I lasted 6 months with classical piano before I decided to quit and go to guitar. And then
I don't know. I think it's definitely for some people. And when I see the kids that have stuck with it, I'm like, you guys are so impressive. And I'm so happy that you feel connected to this. But personally, I've never been very good at reading sheet music. I don't know if I have like sheet music dyslexia or whatever, but the notes just have always been like salad on a page to me. And it just, I for 10 years, I was just listening to a song, recording of it, and then playing it by ear. And that just became so frustrating to me that I was like, I can't do this anymore, guys.
Are you a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma classes excluded, and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayoga.com.
Horrid, you ghastly, and I love you true. So here are some presents I'm sending to you.
If you consider yourself a goblin, ghost, or a ghoul, then you should listen to Deadbeats on Fridays from 3 to 4 with your ghost at the most, me, Pretty Dead Boy. I play most things emo and alternative, and I promise it's just to die for.
You're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me.
What you listening to, son?
I don't think you like it.
Well, why not? I like this new generation of music.
You are listening to CJLO 1690 AM, now with The Noise Hour.
Let me tell you, Bobby, there's nothing funny about these sounds.
Tired of listening to music your dad likes? Tune in to CJLO 1690 AM to find something that'll really shock you.
So, next song we're going to hear is Evolve. How did this one come about? What was the process?
This one is actually so embarrassing. I was in a 3-month situationship that did not end very well, but I was so infatuated and so like stupidly obsessed with this girl that I was just like, I'm gonna write this song. And I played it at a recital from my school that she didn't show up to, and it was fine. But I was so attached to the song because it was from such a, like, I don't know, such like a baby gay part of my life when I was so intensely, like, finally learning what it meant to, like, fall in love a little bit or, like, become attached to a person or be able to articulate my feelings about a person. And so, although I don't, like, look back at that time with anything other than embarrassment, I do really value the song. But that one was another one of these like 15-minute like sit down, bang it out, oh wow, that's a song kind of moments. And then like 6 months later, once I had gotten my recording gear, I recorded it and I was like, I kind of like this. And that was the first song I ever put on Spotify.
Nice. Okay, so that was the first one. Awesome.
My fear of rejection could stop evolutionary processes. I never used to think about that, but now every time you look at me, I cannot breathe. I'm supposed to be hardwired through my bones so I can find a mate, but then you turn and smile and I don't have the guts to ask you on a date, so I'll make you wait. But God, I wish that I could change. I wish that I could ask to hold your hand. I wish that I could sing to you and you would understand. I wish that all my fears would just resolve. I wish that I could kiss you and the world would just dissolve. I wish I could evolve. Darwin ever met me, he would self-destruct from primal, untapped rage, cause nothing that I do around you matches any creature about my age. My heart's on a stage. I don't know how you broke the coding written for like several million years, or maybe I am just mutated and am separated from my peers. Will this end in tears? Oh God, I wish that I could change. I wish that I could ask to hold your hand. I wish that I could sing to you and you would understand. I wish that all my fears would just resolve. I wish that I could kiss you and the world would just dissolve. I wish I could evolve. I thought that I would feel the urge to give you my whole mind, but now my heart
wish that I could sing to you and you would understand. I wish that all my fears would just resolve. I wish that I could kiss you and the world would just dissolve. I wish I could evolve. I wish I could evolve. I feel blood rushing through my ears. Words are creeping up my throat. Tears make me feel I'm gonna choke. But I close my eyes and keep a straight face. There's nothing more embarrassing than showing out how you've been feeling. And I feel like slipping out the back door. Why did I agree to be here? This can only end in tears. But I smile and wave and keep my head high. Though this place should feel like home, I'm somehow feeling more alone. Not quite young enough to be considered sweet. Not quite old enough to be seen as complete. So even if I was the pinnacle of elegance and charm, since I'm 16, my inner self won't get me that far. Maybe all of it's in my head. Other kids can blend so well, while I just feel like I'm in hell. So why can't I seem to ever get it right? Outcast or the special one, I wish that I could just have fun. And I want to say that I don't mean to screw up conversation flows, but everybody but me knows the way to be perfect in the spotlight. 'Cause though this place should feel like home, I'm somehow feeling all alone. Not quite young enough to be considered sweet. Not quite old enough to be seen as complete. So even if I was the pinnacle of elegance and charm, since I'm 16, my inner self won't get me that far.
Oh man, Inner Self is probably my least favorite song in my own discography. I know a lot of people that actually really like it, and I'm so glad that that clicks for them, but I hate the production on it. And if I could re-record it, I would. I don't actually mind the lyrics though. But that one came, I was at a wedding shower when I wrote that one, and it just really like clicked for me in a moment where I was like, had been trying to integrate myself into all these social situations and was just really catastrophically failing, that I was like, I think I'm kind of at this like awkward age where no one really considers, like, no one really knows what to do with me. Like, I'm not young enough anymore for people to be like coddling me or be like, oh, like, look at this cute little child. You know, whenever she does anything, it's like entertaining and funny, but I'm also not like old enough to be considered an intellectual yet. So I'm not like brought into conversation spaces. And I was just kind of like, I'm a mess. Let's write a song about it. And then I did. I had been sitting on the riff that I used for like several months. I was really happy that I got to use it. But now I want to re-record it because I had so many guitar mistakes in it. Like so many picking issues and I wasn't pressing on the strings hard enough. But it's okay because it was only the second song I'd ever released and she's still my child and I love her. So there is love there.
Yeah, I look back at some of the songs that I've put out on Spotify and I'm like, oh, that's very cringe. Like, I've definitely taken some off because I'm like, that was a bad choice to put that up. But I like the songs. It's usually just the production that kind of...
Right. It's like, yeah, at the beginning, wow, like, man, I really did not know how to use Logic Pro at this time in my life.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess that moves us into talking about that, like, while producing music, what's your kind of process for that? Do you usually write the whole song and then kind of move to the production later? Or like right away, or what's your...
I write the whole song and then I record it. There has only been one deviance from that rule, and that would be Not Yours, which I wrote when I was ill and just doinking around on my keyboard. And I was like, oh, I came up with a riff. And then I recorded the riff and then I sang a verse over it. And then I recorded a chorus and then I sang the chorus and then I wrote another like verse. There was... like that was a very made it while I was recording a song, but everything else was write the whole song, probably sit on it for 3 months, then get into my, I call this my home studio. This is my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Then record it in here and then release it. But it's always, I put down like a drum track first because if it's just a metronome, I can't play guitar along to it consistently.
Oh, me too. Like,
something about that dirt, 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 dirt is just like not enough for me. So I put down a drum track. I record my guitar. Sometimes I do vocals, but usually I try to add like more layers before I do vocals. And then I do a choral stack.
This next one, I don't know if I know how to pronounce this name.
It's Milamasis. And I love the thoughts and the feelings that went into this song. This was about a relationship that I had through a very significant chunk of high school. And we were both really obsessed with the show Hannibal. And one of the fun facts about Hannibal in that show is that he's Lithuanian. And there was this word that comes up a lot in a lot of the fandom spaces in Hannibal, Milamasis, which means beloved. Or something along those lines of like loved one. The translation isn't exact, but I thought that word was so beautiful. And it was their contact name for many months. So it was just something that like, and then when I wrote the song about them, I was like, why don't I just slap that on the title?
Yeah,
that works.
Why not?
So, you know,
it's definitely unique. It's not a title you would see for many other songs, so.
Yeah, I'd say that for sure.
Yeah.
Hello, you beautiful thing. I thought I caught your eye today, and it made me want to sing. And you know, I think I'm obsessed with the way that your smile makes my soul fly from my chest. And I'm falling, falling for you. So let's take a trip to somewhere nice like Florence and we'll watch the night fall away. Wrapped inside each other's arms, we'll laugh until we both turn red. The dark will make us go to bed cause we're alive, loving one another side by side. Do you know
lips are turning blue. I wonder if you think of me too. Oh, that's our show on in the background, our song playing on a loop. Cause I'm falling, falling for you. So let's fly away and see the world. You be my love, I'll be your girl. Just hold my hand and swear that you won't let it go. We'll stay up on a Friday night, watch true crime by the kitchen light. Cause we're alive, loving one another side by side. Oh, I'm falling, falling for you. Oh, I'm falling, falling for you. So let's fall.
Skin.
Oh.
I don't like the games you play, I never win.
Oh.
I don't like the taste of your sin.
Oh.
Oh, you can beg and plead, but I won't let you in.
Oh.
I can't stand the way that you cry.
Oh.
When you say, oh baby, please just tell me why. You wanna die. Cause I'm
not yours.
Boy, you to play with.
Not yours.
Boy, you to lay with.
Not yours.
I just won't stay with someone who hurts like you.
Not yours.
Cause I am certain.
Not yours.
I know my worth then.
Not yours.
I just won't stay with someone who hurts like you. Pretend I have a choice. I just wanna tune out the noise. Your filthy love destroys. Your words cut like knives on my flesh. How could you believe that I would love you best? Did you think I would be impressed? You're nothing but a pest. Cause I'm
not yours.
Boy, you to play with.
Not yours.
Boy, you to lay with.
Not yours.
I just won't stay with someone who hurts like you.
Not yours.
Cause I am certain.
Not yours.
I know my worth then.
Not yours.
I just won't stay with someone who hurts like
so
you.
Please, please just go.
Pack your hate, and please, please don't go and say you were wrong. It's too late. So please, please just go away. Pack your bags, pack your hate, and please, please don't go and say you were wrong. It's too late.
Okay, we are listening to the Comfy Cabaret. This Was Not Yours by Hazel. Do you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Sure. I wrote this song after a rather scary incident, riding home on a train where I was, not to get into the tea of it, but it was just like really unfortunate. It involved like a bunch of scary people pushing me into a corner. I wasn't obsessed with it. I actually really hated it. I had been harboring all this anger about the fact that like no one helped me, even though I was like asking for help. And I was really upset about the whole situation. And I was sick in my bed, which is why I sound congested through the whole song. And I wrote just a song about like not wanting to be treated like a possession, not wanting to be treated like my body is something that other people are entitled to. And that I really dislike the way that throughout my life, especially like as I started like maturing into a teenager / adult, I've had so many of these miserable situations that I've been in where like men in my life, either that I know or don't know, God forbid, just feel entitled to intruding within my personal space and intruding into my life and making themselves known as a presence that I really don't want them to be. Yeah. And so I was really pissed off about that. So I wrote a song about that. And That's Not Yours. But I had so much fun with this song when I was recording it, because this has 68 tracks of harmony in the background. Like, it's not even funny how many layers I put into it. It probably took like 3 days to like record all of those, edit all of those, sync them up, and like make sure the timings were like really crisp. But I was so proud of how the choral arrangement came out when I was done. Like, some of the lyrics in that song aren't my favorite, but I am so proud of the production on this one.
Yeah, I guess if it's something that like means that much to you and it like comes from a place of like pain, I feel like you want to do it justice. You like really want to put in that effort to make the song as good as possible. I feel like you have a pretty big presence on social media and you use it to promote music. How did you just decide that that was probably the best way to promote music when you started releasing music, or come in later?
I mean, to be honest, I had like a social media presence some for a while. When I was like at the very beginning of when I was in high school, like during quarantine on Instagram, I was like occasionally posting me playing a cover of some song on the guitar, and I just post that. Most of the people who engaged were my family, and you know what? That's okay.
That's great.
Just my family and my friends being like, oh, that sounded so pretty. Oh, I love that song, whatever. Yeah. But then when I released Evolve, at that point I had a TikTok account and I had like zero exposure on it. I think I had like 100 followers, but I still posted the song and that didn't gain any traction. But what did, interestingly enough, I posted this video in, I think, the summer of 2022 of me talking about, like, it was to that I Am the Righteous Hand of God audio that was talking about how I had a bunch of, like, older listeners on my Spotify, and I was always so confused about where they came from, and I was like, that's a little creepy. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out that my uncle, who's a farmer, was sending my music to all of his like farmer friends in Massachusetts. So I had like a portion of my listeners who were just like Massachusetts farmers, like his chemical salesman or like the guys who like harrow our fields, you know, stuff like that. And I was quite pleased to learn that. And that blew up. Like I got, I think, 3 million views on that video. And I had a couple others that went accidentally viral that way. And once I started getting followers, I was like, oh, I could promote my music this way. So that kind of ended up working out.
Under the Sun is the next one that we're going to play. So if you want to talk about that.
So I was really inspired by, I don't know if you know Shauna Dean Copeland on TikTok, or STC. She writes like a combination of like, I don't know, rap, singer-songwriter type stuff on her guitar. She has a pretty sizable following. And she wrote this song like 2 years ago that was talking about how she was really upset that a lot of like alternative or so-called emo bands when we were younger seemed to have this obsession with writing songs geared at children in a very upset place, like a very distraught place in their life, and trying to say that like supporting their music or whatever was the way that was going to get them out of it. Like, yeah, child, you have clinical depression. You know what's going to help? Me. Which, and then once I started thinking about it, I was really upset about it because I was like hey now, that's actually really upsetting. Like, how, like, why did you sell me this he kissed her scars narrative when what I actually needed was Lexapro? So that was something that I was quite angry about, and so I sat down and I wrote a song about it, and that one took a lot longer because I tried to focus more on the lyricism, but I was just very upset that I had put so much faith, time, and money into, like, I have this drawer of band shirts in here that I'd never wear anymore because I'm honestly kind of embarrassed too, but I, like, gave so much money to these groups and put so much faith into them and showed up to their concerts or whatever and, like, really thought that this music was somehow going to make me better, and it wasn't. And I was just like, why did I look up to these guys? They're just a bunch of jerks in like tight leather pants who need to find a new hobby other than appealing to 12-year-olds. Like, that's predatory and weird, and there's so much like lying that goes on. Like, do they really think that they're helping the groups of people that they think they're helping?
Probably not.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
So I drop names, but I don't want to get sued.
I don't think you'll get sued.
Okay. But still, you know, like, I feel like anybody who has been in that situation knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tout genre confondu. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visite le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Autobeat, Thursday nights bringing you the best in electronic music from local artists to international artists. So keep it locked 7 to 9 Thursday nights on CJLO 1690 AM and CJLO.com.
You're listening to CJLO on 1690 AM! CJLO!
You suck.
You suck more.
Up to you, 'cause you told me you're perfect, but now it just seems like everybody but me knew. Oh, I regret giving you all that time, 'cause I obsessed and regressed, and now I just think that you took so much of what was mine. And you told me you loved me in a way that no one had ever loved me before. And you told me that my scars were pretty and that you'd keep loving me if I had more. 'Cause no one's allowed to recover. We'll be happy when we're dead and gone. There's nothing left to discover, just the things you can barely outrun. You fed me lies and you told me that you would bring me to the happiness when you were done. But now I know the only thing you ever wanted was all of the money that's under the sun. Oh, I regret giving power to you. My head was on fire and you fanned the flames and watched as I was consumed.
Oh, I regret giving my heart to you. 'Cause nothing hurts more than betrayal from someone that said that they were just like you. 'Cause you told me you loved me in a way that no one had ever loved me before. And you told me that my scars were pretty, and God, did that make me just want to have more? 'Cause no one's allowed to recover. We'll be happy when we're dead and gone. There's nothing left to discover, just the things you can barely outrun. You fed me lies, and you told me that you would bring me to the happiness when you were done. But now I know the only thing you ever wanted was all of the money that's under the sun. And no, God, I can't believe you'd go that far. And no, God, I can't believe you'd stoop below that low bar. 'Cause you wanted money and you wanted fame, so you took advantage of people in pain. Yeah, you told them you knew what they're going through, but deep down inside you knew it was a ruse. You lied to them, lied to me, lied to yourself. Put your heart aside, dignity on a shelf. 'Cause nothing in the world could ever stop greed by itself. So now no one's allowed to recover. We'll be happy when we're dead and gone. There's nothing left to discover, just the things you can barely outrun. You fed me lies, and you told me that you would bring me to the happiness when you were done. But now I know the only thing you ever wanted was all of the money that's under the sun.
We are going to play Orange Show Speedway. And if you want to talk about how that inspires your music.
Oh my goodness. Lizzie McAlpine in general, she's just such an inspiration to me. Her harmony work, her lyrics, she has this beautiful lyrical style where she paints very vivid pictures about like exactly where she is, what she's doing, but she somehow manages to make it sound poetic in a way that I'm like constantly trying to emulate. And she just tells these beautiful stories about, like, I don't know, Orange Show Speedway is about going to a car racing track. Like, I don't know about you, but like the Indy 500 doesn't exactly sound super romantic to me. Is that horse racing? No, it's not. What am I talking about? You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I don't follow racing. And then at the very end, she's like, actually, I've never been here before. I've just like heard of this. But it's just kind of like this whole situation just feels like spinning round and round on a track. And like, I don't know. I just think that song is so beautiful and so cheeky almost at times, but just very masterfully done, I would say.
Okay, awesome. And
every guy at this festival has you in their eyes. I never think about it too much, but I'm thinking tonight. And it's really annoying that I'm triggered like this, 'cause your name isn't spoken, but I'm speaking it. And I don't know why it happened, but it happened like this. My best friends are with me and I feel okay, but last time I was here I was 18. My mind is racing and I feel so strange. Last time I was here you were.
expecting you to be there when I turned to my left. We were stupid and young then. I was so in love. We were just friends, riding on the line between acceptable and angering your girlfriend. My best friends are with me and I feel okay. But last time I was here, I was 18. My mind is racing and I feel so strange. Last time seconds flat when I'm racing head first towards everything that I want back.
We're getting near the end. What are you working on now? What's your next project in terms of music?
So I've got a new EP that I'm working on at the moment that the new single should be out for in a few weeks. Oh, I hope. Cool. I'm waiting for my producer to get back to me because I got a producer. He's working on the masters right now, so I'm really excited about that. But long-time fans of mine, by which I mean my friends, have been waiting with bated breath for the song Nothing, No One, Never Happened, which will be the leading single on this project. And that's kind of like a fun little breakup rock anthem that I'm so excited to release. And I physically, like, I've been listening to it in my car, like the almost ready to release version. And I am so excited to put this thing out in the world. There are a few others on there, so it's going to be, I believe it's either five or six songs, depending on whether or not I choose to boot the last one.
I guess we'll find out.
But the tentative name for it is Above the Afterglow, which is a lyric in one of the songs, I think. And that is what I'm working on right now.
We have, Chinese Satellite, how do they inspire you?
Basically, any work that Phoebe Bridgers is involved in is always, like, very dear to me. I find her so, so talented, and her lyrics are just a perfect mix of tragic and a little bit funny. To me, Chinese Satellite is such a beautiful song because it's talking about, a beautiful mix of kind of hopelessness, but also yearning that I think is so potent in a lot of her music. And I just think the production on that song is so scrumptious. Yeah. I could listen to it for hours. Me and this guy who taught me how to do production, like, this is our favorite song off of Punisher in general. But I mean, she's so talented. Like, anything that I say is probably not going to articulate properly how much I love her and her work.
I've been running around in
pretending to be myself. Why would somebody do this on purpose when they could do something else? Drowning out the morning birds with the same three songs over and over. I wish I wrote it, but I didn't, so I learned the words. Hum along till the feeling's gone forever. Took a tour to see the stars, but they weren't out tonight. So I wished hard on a Chinese satellite. I want to believe. Instead, I look at the sky and I feel nothing. You know I hate to be alone. I want to be wrong. You were screaming at the evangelicals. They were screaming right back from what I remember. And you said I will never be your vegetable.
In general, do you find that the music scene around where you are is, like, good? Do you get lots of opportunities to perform? Is there a nice group of